When I get up in the pulpit, I get the opportunity to have everybody's attention as much as I can for a certain period of time. And I can try to let y'all in on some things about me that you may not otherwise have asked about, or you just don't know about right off top. So you know I got a story, right? True story based on my life experience. When I was a student at Liberty Christian Academy, we're gonna pray about that one. Yeah, some good people did graduate from there, and I wasn't one of them. But when I was there, I was on the basketball team in junior high and in high school. First part of my high school career was at Liberty. And I remember in my seventh grade year, I went off of the basketball team. And when you go to a private school, the rules about going out for teams is not like in public school. Public school, everybody get on if you want to get on. You can't just arbitrarily cut somebody. But at Liberty, you could be cut. And somehow, I made the basketball team my seventh grade year. I wasn't as skilled as I became. I was pretty rough. I had only played organized ball for a few years before that. So I was pretty rough piece. And somehow that year when I was in seventh grade, the seventh, eighth grade squad, junior high squad, pulled off something that had not happened in the school's history, whether junior high or high school. That year, we went 12-0. And we were the first team to ever go undefeated in school's history. And I don't even know if to this day that still stands. But we skunked everybody. Matter of fact, I remember our average margin of victory was 45 points a game. We didn't just beat teams, we destroyed teams. Part of that was because we had a coach that was an AAU coach. And that AAU coach used to coach the likes of Michael Redd, Esteban Weaver, you know, the glory days of high school basketball in the 90s. He coached those major players. And he had us somehow, this motley crew of guys, working in such a way that we didn't just go out and win and defeat people, we went out and destroyed teams on purpose. I think the smallest margin of victory may have been 15 points. We played teams that had more stuff. One in particular I remember was the Wellington School. Wellington School has all kinds of everything. They got beautiful gym, they got all kind of equipment, they got the best of everything. And we went up in their gym and we beat them 76-24. And junior high ball, a full game is 24 minutes. So in 24 minutes, we went out and scored 78 points. Embarrassed them in front of their parents and their coach. We were not the most talented team. We had shooters. I was a rebounder. I wasn't really good at shooting. I only averaged 6 points a game, but I averaged 17 rebounds a game. I knew my role. But somehow, coach pulled all of our skills together and we executed in such a way that we couldn't be defeated. Y'all know I'm going somewhere with all this, right? Teams are not built based upon who has the greatest talent. Let me say that again. Teams are not built based upon who has the greatest talent. They're built upon how you use the talent and the skill set in the most effective way. Which means that you're not always going to get certain folk on the team. That's what's wrong with the NBA, for instance. Everybody wants a super team. But we look at the Golden State Warriors. And even with having possibly the best player in the world, he got injured. And folk forgot that they had already won championships without Kevin Durant. To the point where they came up with a story on ESPN about which is better, having chemistry or talent. And it showed that whether they had all the talent or the great chemistry, they were already set to be winners. And church, we're in a season where we have to begin to retool our understanding of how to be the church in order to be a true winning squad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see, a lot of local churches die because they do not fully assess what they have or assess what's going on around them. You see, sometimes it's not whether or not you have a dynamic pastor and a dynamic preacher and a dynamic teacher. Those days are long gone. You can't just rely on having one selling point as a church. We live in a world that is so diverse, that has so many different needs attached to it, that deals with so many generations that exist now more than ever, that it requires that we become a people that are set up to win and to be successful in every area we're called to. You cannot call yourself, for instance, a multi-ethnic or multiracial church if your leadership does not reflect that.
Amen.
You cannot call yourself a multi-generational church if your leadership does not reflect that. It's going to be quiet, I see. You cannot call yourself the church if you deny that the teachings of Christ are paramount in setting up what we must do to help somebody. Matter of fact, you cannot continue to have the same types of people in certain spots. And just before you miss it, I didn't say same people, I said same types of people in spots, whether it's leadership or in active worship and things like that, and think that the result is going to change. We have to become a people that are prepared to build the squad up. Listen, this is a simple exegetical point. Jesus found 12 dudes, and all of them were not the same. Fisherman, tax collector, a thief. Y'all ain't gonna want to hear this part, but even the thief was necessary. You had a political activist. Simon the Zealot was a political activist. That's putting it mildly. He was a part of a group of people that wanted to start revolution. You have all these different people on there. You had people that had mama issues, those sons of thunder. You had all types of people that had stuff, but the one thing they had in common, none of them were priests. So they did not come from the religious establishment that was there. Which means to me that you ain't got to start from a place in order for God to use you. May I say this even clearer so people understand? I know I got degrees from seminary, but I've always said this and I'll never change. You ain't got to have a seminary degree to be effective in ministry. Because your ministry may not be up here talking to nobody. Your ministry may be the thing that will propel the entire church to another level. And some people need to understand that ministry in and of itself, the simple word of ministry, is not always equated with preaching, but ministry is just doing things to serve God. God is looking for servants. God's looking for people that are willing to serve, whether they got a title or not, looking for people that are willing to do what it takes, no matter what, and even when the situation seems like there's nothing else we can do, they're prepared. He built a squad not based upon the norm. He built the squad based upon the need of the environment he was preaching to. Church, the squad's got to be built for the folk we minister to. It cannot be built for the people that just show up to our church. And here it is, the people that we're to minister to, every one of them ain't in here yet. Y'all all right? Y'all sure you all right? I just need to know, because if I got to change mics and start sitting with y'all and talking from there, that's cool. The squad has to be built for the folk that ain't in here yet. Because when we go to get them, we'll be prepared for them as they come. Which means you're going to have to accept this. Some things about you are going to have to change. I can't preach like I used to almost 20 years ago. It don't work. Not because I can't do it, but because I look at the environment and I realize people are not looking for a hoop and a holler. People are looking for truth. And when you tell the truth, folk got no other alternative but to do one of two things. Either accept it and change, or get mad about it and run away. And folk are looking for truth. They're not looking for people to have platforms. They're looking for people that are going to tell them something that's going to help them. And when I'm going through something in my life and I keep on wandering around seeing if anybody is paying any attention to what I'm going through, I need somebody to give me an answer. And if I can't get an answer from the bar, if I can't get an answer from over here or over there, if I can't get an answer from talking to folk on the phone that are just like me and all they want to do is go around and gossip about how bad stuff is, then I need to find somewhere and somebody that can tell me something that's going to change my environment. And who better than the church? But if we're not ready, you can't help nobody. So listen, three things and I'm finished, because I see y'all hot and some of y'all ain't gonna shout, and I know some of y'all ain't gonna talk to me afterward. So let me get it all out the way, y'all. I still love you. And I love you enough to tell you, here are the three things that are gonna build this team. These are qualities ready to help us shift as a team. One, you need folk that are conscious of the environment. I don't need. Okay, let me say it this way first so you get the example. If I want to be rich, I don't need broke people's opinion. Some of y'all caught that, right? If you want to be rich, you don't talk to broke folk. Because all they got are broke ideas. If you want somebody's life to be changed, you need to be able to talk to somebody whose life has been changed. Come on. Folk don't want to hear about your pseudo piety today. They want to know, how did you get here? And you can't go around promoting Jesus and act as if you have not been delivered from something. Let me go all the way here. There's a whole lot of folk right now that God has blessed beyond measure, that when they look back over their lives, they know that they would not be here if the Lord didn't show up. So if the Lord has shown up for you, you are obligated by your relationship with God not to judge somebody who is not where you are today. Your obligation is to look back at where the Lord has brought you from, give flesh to your journey, and tell somebody, guess what? I know it ain't great today, but you will make it. Because if the Lord did it for me, he will do it for you. Walking around and acting like you can't touch nobody, can't be around nobody, and all that kind of stuff, the devil is a liar. Because if the Lord didn't show up for you, you would have been all by yourself. But when I think about where the Lord found me and he pulled me out, why would I treat anybody any different? See, there's too many people that think they're woke, but they still sleep. Because if you're truly woke and you're truly conscious, you will go back into your life and quit walking around like you've been here all the time and recognize that the environment needs your story. I'll get nervous if you want to, but we're about to shift this thing. Nobody wants to hear about your piety today. They want to know, how did the Lord bring you through? He chose people that had no association with the temple. He didn't choose priests. He didn't choose any of them. He chose common folk that had concentration in other areas and somehow was able to pull them in because they knew, watch this, what was really going on. The environment of the temple at the time, those priests didn't know what was going on. All they wanted to do was to continue to feed into what they were getting and not really help nobody. So why would Jesus choose people that only wanted to perpetuate the same old thing and continue to do the same old stuff and it wasn't helping nobody? That's why he found somebody that was in the environment that could tell Jesus what's really going on. Let me move on. Just in case you don't come back. Because this... I said this in private, I'll say it in public. It's great when the preacher sounds good and you love what he's saying, but it becomes a different story when the preacher begins to talk about God is shifting and we're going to find out who's really on board. Second thing you need to be on the squad, you got to be committed to the purpose. Let's clear the air. Commitment is time, talent, resources. Listen, they all had a skill set, right? So if they wanted to feed hungry people, they had fishermen. They could get the fish if they had to, pull them in, feed anybody. If they wanted something to shift politically, if Jesus wanted to go that route, he had somebody that was ready for revolution. Y'all still with me? Everything that was necessary to make something happen, Jesus pulled in the right people that would make it happen. And everywhere he went, they went with him. Go back to last week, trying to retreat, but the crowd came and they were with him. And what happened? As he was trying to get on the boat to relax, they saw the crowd and Jesus said, set up the other ship so we can begin to preach. And what did they do? They set up the boat and ministered to those people. In this text, we're getting the insight on who's with him now, but look towards the end. They were on their way to get something to eat. And the crowd showed up and they couldn't eat. But they ministered to the crowd. You cannot talk about ministry if you are unwilling to address the real mission. This is whoever this falls on, it falls on. And if you're offended, I'm glad. You can't think that ministry is only on Sunday morning. And you can't think that ministry is just preaching and teaching. And you can't think, let's go here, that it's just involvement with any group that may be connected to our denomination. There are too many needs to be met for us to ever think that the four walls of the church is the only stuff that's going to get ministered to. We got folk working in prisons. We need to go there. Y'all don't want to talk, cool. We need to go there because there are brothers that are in prison, and I know this for a fact, that have gotten in touch with who Jesus is and sure enough got a fire lit up under them, and whether they're going to be in, out, or whatever, God has met them in the prison. The Bible said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came to see about me. Watch this. In as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. There is somebody somewhere that needs a touch from God, and it's not going to come just from a preacher preaching for 30 minutes on a Sunday. It's going to come from somebody that has a story to tell and that can reach somebody that other folk can't reach. You embarrassed about what happened to you when you were a teenager. You were a teenage mom and all that stuff. Okay, everybody know about that. But talk about how God blessed you in spite of what you were going through. All right, you were a single mom and it wasn't a teenage situation. Well, guess what? You still got a chance to do whatever you want to do. Talk to somebody that has the story. You've been going through a bad relationship, but God blessed you with the right relationship. You got a story to tell. I don't care what it is. God is not going to use anything and waste anything. God wants to use you, but you got to say yes. Last thing I'm finished. You got to be coachable. You got to be coachable for the execution of the mission. Here's the thing that kills most folk in most churches, no matter how big or small. All right? Folk don't want to be told nothing. Okay, let me help some of y'all. I don't like when folk try to tell me nothing either. Matter of fact, I don't embrace well when I feel as if someone is not telling me something as information, but they're trying to tell me something as dictation. Oh, you know the easiest way for you to never talk to me again? Try to tell me what to do. When, and let me preface it, you're trying to tell me what to do about what I'm called to do. And you ain't never done any of it a day in your life. That's the easiest way. If you want to make certain that I treat you according to making sure you're something on my list to do, try to tell me how to do something God's called me to do. Because the first thing that'll happen is I'll nod, say God bless you, and we ain't got nothing to talk about. I'll come when you're sick, and I'll make sure you're okay, because that's pastoral care. but conversations won't be too big. Now, I'm man enough to admit that, because I know some of you won't admit it in public. You don't want to be told what to do, especially if it's something you actually know how to do. But can I tell you what it means to be coachable? Let me go back to that undefeated season. There were better shooters than me on that team. I was not a three-point shooter. My jump shot lacked. Every once in a while, I could hit one from 15 feet. But I was not skilled yet to be a scoring option. My skill set was as a rebounder, a passer, and a block shot artist. So my coach set me up to focus on rebounding, putbacks, passing, and all that other stuff. I didn't get mad if I had a teammate score 20 points, because their skill set said if they're open, they're going to hit. And if they're hot, you keep feeding them. All I need to do is be ready to what? Grab a rebound if it comes off. To be coachable means that you have to at least hear how you are perceived within the grander scheme. Okay? That means, example, if you cannot count, you may not need to be over the money.
Amen.
If you burn water, y'all with me? And it doesn't mean that you don't have the heart to serve. But we got to identify what is the best place for you to be the most effective. The easiest way to kill somebody's ability to serve is just putting folk in spots because you need something filled. That ain't how you build a squad. You need to find out who can I place in these positions so that we get the most out of this setup, so then we are able to do the most good.
Yes.
So, I want you to consider something. I ain't gonna holler. I just want you to consider something. This is how I'm gonna finish. Consider, if you are unable to be kind to everyone, you might not need to be on the door. If you're in a spot and you're just occupying it because you just need to fill a spot, let me set you free today. I ain't mad if you don't feel you can fulfill something in this spot. Because my hope would be that you would come to me as your pastor and say, "Pastor, I got so much in me that I feel this. I'm cool if I need to serve, but I got all this stuff in me." Can I tell you, I understand what that means. When you got so much stuff in you and you feel like you're not fulfilling any of it, it gets almost annoying to you. It rubs you the wrong way. You're like, when am I going to get the chance to really do it? When am I going to get a chance to really do what I'm called to do, what I'm really purposed to do? Is anybody ever going to see that I got more to me than this? I see you. I was working a phone knowing that I could really minister to somebody. But while I was on that phone, until my time came, I ministered to people on a phone, working for a company that was supposed to help people, and sometimes all they needed to hear was somebody nice on the other end of the line. And when the time finally came, the Lord sent me here. And I was able to say, "Thank you, Lord, because I know I got more to do." And I don't take it lightly. And then all of a sudden, it turned into that. And then he said, well, I know you got more to do, so let me give you something else to do. And opened up another door. And I'm like, well, you funny, but I get you, because there's more to do. Church, I'm looking for somebody that's got more in them to do. Don't put your age on it and say you ain't got nothing. You got something left in the tank. Don't try to say that young folk ain't got nothing in them, because they got plenty in the tank. They got all the energy in the world. Don't say that there's nothing else that can be done just because of where we are today. God is trying to set this thing up so we're ready to do something that may seem impossible today, but we know that nothing is impossible with God. But you got to be willing to be coached. Don't get mad if suddenly you seem like you're not in the same spot you used to be. It's because God wants you to see, and all of us to see, there's something more. Just because what I've been shooting all this time, can you imagine what it could have been? Well, coach, I've been shooting all this time. Well, that's fine, but you can't shoot. And we losing because you're trying to take game winning shots and your J is off. So how can I help the team win? You're a great rebounder. You can block shots. Use that and we'll work. Watch this. We'll work on the other stuff. Everyone in here has too much for you not to at least consider. It's time to get coached up and position right. Because when it happens, then we'll be ready. Here's my lesson that I've learned. We can't reach 290 folk being up in this place until we learn how to coach up the ones that are in the saints. That doesn't mean stop telling folk. That means we got work to do. Amen.